Namaskar. Welcome to another episode of Brand Called You, a video and a podcast show that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. We are now in season 3 of our show and have over 900 recordings for you, which you can see at www.tbcy.in. Today, it's my privilege to welcome Dr. Chaitra V. Anand.
Thank you so much, and it's a great honor and pleasure to be here today.
Likewise. Dr. Chaitra is an international renowned cosmetic dermatologist and serial entrepreneur based in Bangalore, India. She is known as the Indian Beauty Guru and is the founder and the CEO of well-known chain of Cosmoderma Clinics, South India's leading medical aesthetics clinic. Her skill in dealing with all skin types is well-known, and her impressive client list comprises of prominent personalities from various walks of life, which include fashion, films, corporates, industrialists, and socialites. Her vision is to create a chain of skin and hair clinics and skin health line that provide standardized, effective, and affordable care to the Indian people. Dr. Chaitra, after completing her MBBS in JSS Medical College, Mysore, went to London to study for her higher education. She is a graduate of the prestigious Guy's and St. Thomas Hospital in London, where she earned her master's in dermatology. She completed her international fellowship in cosmetic dermatology from Miller School of Medicine, University of Miami, USA. She has been on the expert panel for her talks on cosmetic dermatology topics at various conferences, meetings nationally and internationally. She has been part of cosmetic dermatology programs on Channel 4, Discovery Health, and other prestigious TV channels in London, and Band Baja Bright with Sabyasachi in India. In 2006, Dr. Chaitra moved back to India to pursue her dream of opening a chain of world-standard skin and laser clinic in India and started a specialist cosmetic dermatology clinic in Bangalore and its first fully equipped cosmetic dermatology center called Cosmoderma. In 2007, Dr. Chaitra founded the International Academy of Aesthetic Medicine to train doctors in the field of cosmetic dermatology, as she felt that doctors did not have enough exposure to cosmetic dermatology in regular practice and required additional specialized training in India. Under her guidance, the Academy conducts intensive hands-on training courses for doctors from around the globe. She has trained over 3,000 doctors in aesthetic medicine and procedures and is credited with pioneering aesthetic medicine and cosmetic dermatology, the dermatology training in India. The Academy has attracted students from India, UK, UAE, Africa, Southeast Asia, and considered a top-notch training facility. Welcome to the show, Dr. Chaitra.
Thank you so much, Yash. Thank you.
You know, first things first, let's start where it all and how it all started. My question to you is, how did Chaitra become Dr. Chaitra and the cosmetic dermatologist? How did it all start? Just walk us through and tell us your story a bit.
It was actually sheer accident, honestly. Accident on my part and probably foresight by my parents, I should say. You know, from a young age, I was exposed to what my parents did. And my father's an entrepreneur. And I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And him and my uncle, who's my maternal uncle in the States, is very successful. He's a doctor, but an entrepreneur. And I always used to tell everybody, I'm going to be like my dad or my uncle. All I meant was successful, but everybody assumed I want to be a doctor. So, and you know, I grew up in Mysore, which is a beautiful, lovely city. And we all studied a lot. And so I got to medical school. And so I was sent to medical school and I actually wanted to drop out after the first year because I didn't really enjoy the experience because I felt there was so much more I wanted to do other than just be a doctor. But, you know, my father convinced me that if I drop out at that time, I still have to finish 3 more years of any basic study. So I could either be like a BCom or something or just an engineer, or I could have a title of a doctor. And then I could always go do business studies, MBA, and start what I want to start. And so I ended up finishing medical school. Then I went to London, actually, because I put a business plan to do a chain of spas, because I felt that in early 2000s and 99, there weren't enough spas in India. And that's what I wanted to do. So I went there to experience and to learn and understand. And that's when I started working at a plastic surgeon's office as a temp and then got exposed to this whole world of aesthetic medicine, plastic surgery, cosmetic dermatology. And I said, Fantastic. This is amazing because I could use my skill set and I could build something. And so the whole spa system became now a medi spa in my head. And then I went to derm school to get the skill sets I needed. And then, of course, I worked there for a chain of clinics, which actually got sold to a venture capitalist. So that was my first taste of, you know, scaling and growth and valuation. And I always wanted to come back home to India. And that's how I came back. And I came back and I actually wanted to start medi spas. And believe it or not, Shesh, I landed in Bangalore. And then 5 days later, all the newspapers in Bangalore had this whole big scandal about spas in Bangalore. And it was a big scam and a, you know, huge, huge, big debate. So it was not the time or the condition for me to start spas because they just had bad word of mouth. And I said, what am I going to do? And so I started a skin clinic. And then I realized that there was such huge potential for that just because there was such dearth of quality services of world standard and gold standard services. And that's how it became. And that's how I became Dr. Chaitra.
Oh, wow. What a journey, I tell you, in a short span. It's always, you know, one has heard so much that behind success of people, there is a story. And that story is where, you know, which defines people. And I think what interesting that how it all started. So I also read that you have various and diverse interests in various other projects. You are also known as a serial entrepreneur. Now, what is that? What are your other interests?
You know, I think I was an entrepreneur even at medical school, because in medical school, we had a lot of international students who would come to us and out-of-state students, and they always needed some kind of services, right? If it could have been finding real estate for them, or it could have been something like getting them a vehicle, or, you know, getting anything. And so maybe like getting all that stuff. So I started an agency way back in medical school to help provide services for students from out of state and out of country way back then itself, even though I was in medical school. So it started from there. But even in London, when I was studying and I was working for a chain of clinics, I actually joined hands with two other people, and we would actually do, you know, sourcing of Kashmir shawls and heritage Indian jewelry. And that was something way back in the past. But now in the right present moment. So I started Cosmoderma Clinics. That was in 2006. And then I've grown it into a chain. And, you know, I'm being blessed. It's been voted South India's aesthetic clinic chain year on year. And then I started the academy because I saw that there was such a gap in the market. And so I started the academy, and training 3,000 doctors is not easy. So it's been fantastic, and it's internationally recognized. So that was called International Academy of Aesthetic Medicine. And now it's transitioned into something else. It's now the Cosmoderma Academy, actually. So, you know, I've handed it over to the next generation to take over, so to speak. And then I started Beauty IQ. It is a company that does white labeling of skincare, because skincare in India was for the longest time very backward in terms of formulations, in terms of research. Everything was like, oh, we got it from the US, we got it from London, we've got it from Korea, etc. Or people would just buy it and white label it from Thailand or China. So the whole idea was, how do we make it? And then I started that for Cosmoderma, and then it became that I started doing it for other companies, etc. Then I started another brand, Cosmocare, which was a formulation and an R&D company. And then now I have SkinQ, my newest venture, which is a personal care brand in the D2C space. It's a visual healthcare company, which offers 360-degree solution for problematic Indian skin. So it's very specific and very niche-oriented.
I want to little deep dive into that, you know, because I think skincare is something which is new to Indian mindset. And people, though increasingly people are getting more and more aware about it, people want to know. So my question to you is India and Indians ready with regards to cosmetic skincare? And that is one part of the question. The second is, what is lacking in Indian skincare scenario in today's world of personal beauty boom?
Right, great questions. Both are great questions. I think India is poised, primed, and ready, right? And you can see the boom everywhere. We're reading about this all the time. For the longest time, I think what was lacking, and in some ways is still lacking, is a lot of R&D that goes in. A lot of times you just see people like saying that, hey, I want to start a brand. They just go pick products, pick stuff, and then white label it and start. So it's a cookie cutter approach. And that's not necessarily what's ideal. And when a person needs to understand that our skin is defined by many different factors, right? It's multifactorial. It's our race, right? Our genetics, the environmental conditioning, our diet, our lifestyle habits. All of this is what makes skin, which is our largest organ in the body. And so nowadays you'll see that there's more research going into what's called skin of color, which is what Indian skin is. There's a lot more research going into it, but it's still less than 5% in the whole scenario of cosmetic care. So there's cosmetic care and then there's dermatocosmetic care. And I do both. So I do dermatocosmetic and cosmetic and play with both.
For a layman like me, what is, while they all, of course, they sound different, but what is the real difference between these two?
Sure. A cosmetic care is just something you apply and it works on the surface of your skin. It's not really going to do too much. It just acts more like a barrier. It really doesn't have too much of a protective or a reparative kind of an effect. You can't correct stuff, right? Whereas at a dermatocosmetic, they actually have what we call as actives, which are blended together in a certain way so that they can actually penetrate to a slightly deeper level of your skin and take effect. So it's more efficacious. So that's dermatocosmetic, and then that's cosmetic. And then at the top sits the pharmaceuticals, which is drugs.
So you made a mention that you have research, you do a lot of research work. Talk to us and tell us something about what kind of a research, how is it carried out, how is it conducted, whatever you can share, because I'm sure that some of these are very close to your heart and you don't want to possibly talk about the secrets of the practices which are followed, but still, if whatever you can share it for our audience.
Sure, happy to. It actually got started because way back in 2008, when I started expanding my clinic chain and I started looking for technology to implement across the clinics, I realized that there was no data or study on Indian skin. So we became actually the center of excellence and the trial center for all the laser companies that wanted to come into India. And that happens today. So any company that really wants to launch into India, 95% of the time they come to us at Cosmoderma and myself at my center. We do the research, we'll get people in, and then we'll do the research, we'll give them the study details back, we'll set the protocols, the settings, everything for Indian skin. And it started from there. So it was a lot of work on tech and laser devices. And then it moved on to the injectables. And then now it's on skincare. So, even skincare, if you apply something, how does it react on your skin? You could put a sunscreen and somebody could look great. Somebody could look dull. Somebody could look congested and someone can break out. So it's understanding the finer nuances, tracking those details. So that's typically what we do. And we also look into newer molecules and how they work, how they can be integrated together. Like that's how I launched SkinCube, because during COVID, I had time to sit back and relax from my hectic schedule. And I said, hey, what am I going to do? I said, let's launch this because I already have so many formulations. And some of our formulations are really unique and proprietary. And we're looking at patenting them and applying, going through the process, because they're absolutely unique towards skin of color or Indian skin.
Interesting. Very interesting. I have to ask you, how is the Indian society changing, with regard to its beauty needs from the beauty care point of view, and also what is the market size? What kind of a growth are we talking here? Because what I know is the cosmetic companies who make the cosmetic products are spending a whole lot of money in trying to bring so many products out in the market, and the way they promote it is out there. But so I want to hear it from you as to what is your take on this.
Sure. So the Indian skincare market is about $12 billion right now. And in that, specific to skincare itself is around $2.5 billion. But the whole cosmetic skincare industry is about $12 billion right now. And, the CAGR is at 20%. So it's a really steep high growth that's going through this whole sphere. And I think one is the awareness and the knowledge, and the other is the availability or accessibility, the ease to purchase these. And so both of them have imploded, and so the market is imploding. So it's fantastic that way. That's in the cosmetic segment. When we look at the dermatocosmetic segment, in dermatocosmetic, it's around a $20 billion market, $24 billion right now. And 50% of the global market is in US, and the rest of the world is 50%. And in that, 20% is Europe, 10% is China, 15% is China, and the rest of the 15% is the rest of the countries. So you can understand, and India is very small in dermatocosmetic when we talk about it. It's still in its infancy in some ways. Because let's think about it, Shesh. Like when we say India, we're 1.3 billion, but really when we talk about the consumer language, we're only talking 100 million people, really. So what is 100 million? So if you look at a bucket size, right, and spend, a US market spend is about $9,500 per year on an average ticket size. In Europe, it's $3,500. In China, it's around $3,500 to $4,000. In India, it's less than $500. It actually stabilizes around $300 per year spend. So now you can see it's disproportionate still. So we may be seeing a lot, hearing a lot, but we're still at infancy in terms of penetration in the dermatology, cosmetic dermatology segment. But it's changing. And even in India, the market is very different. Like North market, Western India market is very different from South and East market. So if you look at it, the front end is North India, then West, then comes South, and then comes East. So there is a very different geographic market.
So if I, you say they are different, how would you, what would be the difference? How is North different than South? Of course, not just talking about geographical differences, but obviously from the skin point of view, I agree that the textures of the people, of the skin, of the people in the South, people in the North are very different. So how would you see this, and you know, how would you people interpret this? And you know, can you just tell us a little about how the differences are, and what are the differences, and what should people actually know? Because I, every time I've gone into a mall and I've seen people look around, try something and say, okay, and the counter girl tells you this is good, this is okay, this is okay, this is good for you, and you just pick it up. So it's a very, when I hear you speak, it's a serious science. So, you know, you can't just pick up something off the shelf and then start using it only to realize that it's not complimenting you.
Mm.
You know, just tell us a bit about it.
But we always say that to make a sale to a male client is much easier than a female client. but the thing is, you know, just coming down to the nuances, the reason the market is much more advanced is not to do with the skin type, but it has to do culturally, right? It's the phenomenon of spending and the culture that is there in North and West. If you think about it, right, Western India is where Bollywood is, right? So that industry is heavy on the perception of looks. North India is where a lot of the industry and the political play is, right? So that's where there's again a leverage on that whole society. In South India, we're totally about startups and tech and education. So the whole thing is to spend more on other things rather than to spend just on the looks. This is not a priority yet in South India compared to other things. They look at other kinds of development rather than beautification or glamorification, as we call it. So that is the reason that there is a difference in the spend culture. Now, when you ask me about the skin itself, it comes down to our racial variation, right? I mean, in the North, we had the influence of the Aryans, right? The Aryan race coming in. So you see that. And then you see the Mughal influence coming in and the Persian influence coming in. And so you see that there's those kind of features, even in a tonal variation in terms of the build of the body. Those are the changes. When you come down towards the South, we're talking more about Dravidian looks. And that's where you see the Dravidian complexes coming in. And that's why we have such a diversity. And I'll tell you something, most people don't even realize this. There's 36 shades to being Indian. It's not just I'm wheatish, I'm medium, I'm black, I'm fair or whatever. There's 36 documented shades now to being Indian.
Wow. So what would be, if I were to ask you another layman question, what is it for a normal common man? What is it one should keep it in his mind when they go out, when they want to look after their skin, you know, just on a routine basis for a normal low-income group families, middle-class families? How should they be, you know, who don't have big budgets to spend? So what should be their simple skincare mantra?
It's a great question again. Yeah, it's a great question. Like I always tell people, right? Skin is the largest organ in our body. And just by looking at a skin, a diagnostician can actually predict on your internal health, because your inner health totally reflects on your outer health. There's no way you're going to have glowing, clear skin if you're not healthy on the inside, right? And so that's why we say, and it's also our first immune barrier. And maintaining skin is actually very simple. You need products, good products, you need a plan, and you need consistency. These are the three pillars to having great skin health, right? In that, I always tell everybody, even if you don't use a soap or a cleanser or whatever, just wash your face with water 2 times a day, morning and night. And in the middle of the day, if you're exposed to the sun, et cetera, or you know, sweat a lot, or you're very oily, et cetera, just again, splash water on it. You don't want the sweat to dry up on your skin. It's as basic as that. This critical step, if you didn't apply anything and you were going to apply only one thing, it has to be sunscreen. The reason is 90% of the damage that happens to our skin over our lifetime is related to sun damage. So invest into a good sunscreen. Doesn't matter that, you know, you don't have great cleansers, great moisturizers. I mean, it's great to have good stuff, but if you have a budget, put all of your investment into that great sunscreen.
What is a good sunscreen?
A good sunscreen for Indian skin is something that has a minimum SPF of 40 for daily use. It has to also have something called a PA rating, which is times pluses, plus, 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 plus. That protects you against the entire spectrum. So it's what we call as a broad spectrum sunscreen. And you can look for something that has a built-in antioxidant like a vitamin C, because that will give you added bonus protection. Because Indian skin, when sun hits us, right, Shesh, we don't get red. We get darker, that's the tan. And tan is chemical damage to our skin. So no tan is a good tan for us. So the best thing is to use a sunscreen. And then in the night, use a moisturizer to create a film or a barrier on your skin. That's all you need. You don't need anything beyond that. Now, if you have problematic skin, go see a skin doctor. I mean, they studied so hard to specialize to treat this, right? And that's something I tell people. If you have a heart attack, you're going to go to a cardiologist, right? So when your skin is not well, why do you think it's okay to ignore it?
Right. No, I think so beautifully put. I think very insightful. Thank you for sharing that. Now, just getting to a little, moving away from this and asking you a very question, which is directly related to Dr. Chaitra and her experiences. This should be a very challenging, while it looks very glamorous, but I'm sure this is very, very challenging, because the way you went about describing it, and you are dealing with people who are very sensitive about everything, what they do, I'm sure you come across such people on a day-to-day basis. Now, tell me through these experiences, what is Dr. Chaitra's frustrations? When does she feel this is real frustrating and this is absolute failure? And these need not necessarily be professional or personal, but just talk to us and say, what do you do? How do you deal with it? How do you, what do you tell yourself when you're faced with such a, are you faced with a situation like this, number one? If yes, what do you do that and then tell us something about it?
Many times, I think over and over, but different circumstances, thankfully, because I learn from my mistakes and I try not to make the same mistake again. But yes, I've had a lot of experiences which have been unpleasant over time. But I think resilience is critical, and to be able to be confident in yourself, to know that you'll overcome these things, is absolutely critical. And like I always tell, two things to people: nothing is impossible. It's just at that moment, mathematically improbable. You're just not finding a logical way to do it, but nothing's impossible. And the second thing I always say is just be the best version of you. Don't compare yourself to anybody else or to something else. Just be the best version of you and always work on making yourself better and better and better. Don't stagnate when you think you've hit the top, because then it's just downwards always. So I always live by these two mantras. And yeah, you know, I've had lots of pain points in my journey too. Like I've had people backstab me when we've depended. And then I've had financial misappropriations that have happened when you think you can trust people and then you do an audit and finally realize that the truth of the matter is not so. I've had people try and steal proprietary data from our company, you know, and then we've had malice and, you know, a lot of all of those hassles. And at the end of the day, you just know that this is part of the process. Nothing is going to be hunky-dory always. And this is part of the process. With the good comes the bad. As long as you suppress the bad and just leap ahead. So I look upon them as stepping stones. That's what I do. I said, okay, this is good. It happened now. It's a good lesson for me not to repeat this in future and to take care of those points. So that's something how I've gone through all of this. And in terms of something else professionally, I remember a few years ago, there's this big, huge corporate company. I'll not name them, but they're really big. And everybody knows their names across India. They approached us for a collaboration with our cosmetic clinics, et cetera. We signed an NDA. We signed a collaboration agreement, legal, everything. And then they came in to do their recce and stuff. And basically what they were trying to do was actually they were trying to steal data from us and steal my employees and some of our proprietary data in terms of our SOPs, manuals, et cetera. It was very, very distasteful to me personally because they're such a big brand. But anyway, you know, I learned the legal hassles in India through that process and we won over it. So that's what it is. You've just got to take it and then smile through it and you'll breeze through it eventually.
Wow. Thank you very much for sharing that. So one last question, because we are running a lot of the time, I want to ask, is that what is the day for Dr. Chaitra look like? Because I've had the pleasure of visiting you in your clinic once, it was not to meet you, but I had just come there. But I saw it was so buzzing with activity, so many people moving in and out, so much of activity, and you were completely, your calendar looked very, very chock-a-block. How many hours a day do you still put in, and how does your day look like? What is your routine like?
Right. I always say that I work hard so that I don't have to get up early. I'm not a morning person. I'll work till 4 a.m., but I don't want to get out of bed before 8 a.m. That's who I am. So that's my luxury. That's what I work towards in some ways. It's like, for me, that's important because personally, that's what I like. But one of the things is I have a young son. He's still 4. He's not yet 5, right? So when he's home, I like to spend time with him. So that's the hour. When he goes to bed is when my mind is free and I put in all of these hours. So, and I have 2 businesses now and I've transitioned Cosmoderma over to a management team that I've nourished over the last 4 years. So now I don't get involved into day-to-day running of Cosmoderma. I just oversee it in a strategy point of view. And I'm now really nourishing SkinCube because it's an early stage startup. And so I'm nourishing that. But yeah, it starts like everything else. I wake up and then, you know, do a bit of exercise, try and get that in sorted in the morning, spend time with family in the morning, and then the day just gets busy. I think I spent about 14 to 16 hours working days these days.
Wow. That's a serious amount of work.
I love it.
It shows how passionate you are, and you know the way you have your completely what they say, finger on the pulse, so you understand the whole process so well. So it's no surprise at all that you enjoy what you do. And we're running out of time, so I want to thank you for your time, for taking time and talking to us. It was a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully we will come back and again do a second round with you at some time in the near future. Thank you very much once again, and have a good day.
Thank you, Shesh. Thank you so much for having me today. It was a pleasure chatting with you, and see you next time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.